Hello and welcome to Comic Talk Today for Tuesday, May 29, 2018. This is the episode of the week in which I talk about the news and, of course, the comic predictor. Because tomorrow is New Comic Book Day, and man, oh man, there are a ton of books to pick up tomorrow. I don't think I've ever done this many. I have like 10 different books that I want to shed a little light on and hope that you pick up. Before we get to the comic predictor, though, let's get to the news. And I gotta say, there's not a lot of comic news. What's happening? Where's the comic news? How am I supposed to do a news segment if you don't give me news, people? I'm just kidding. There are some news that I want to talk about, though. And they're all kind of movie adjacent. Is that a phrase? It is now. Comic book movie adjacent news. And the first one up that I'm pretty excited about. Actually, it's not movie, it's TVs. You know what? Since I said movies, let's kick off with Bloodshot, the movie. What you say? They're not actually going to make this movie. They've been talking about it for years. There's no way they're going to do the Bloodshot movie. Well, you know, I'm with you. I've been saying the same thing. I keep saying to myself, listen, guys, why do you keep teasing with stuff on this movie if you're not even producing it yet? Well, it looks like maybe it's going to be going into production pretty soon. Now, from my understanding, the last time they had some bitter news, the movie was going to go into production starting in July. So it's very possible that the Bloodshot movie could be coming out next year. We'll see. Now, the only casting news that they had was Vin Diesel as Bloodshot, which I'm totally cool with. I think Vin Diesel makes super fun movies, and if this is just a popcorn flick with just stuff blowing up everywhere, totally down for it. But it looks like Sony is in talks to bring some new people into the movie. And the three people that were recently announced are Michael Sheen from Masters of Sex. Not sure who that is. Aza Gonzalez from Baby Driver. I do know who that is. She is a foxy, foxy lady. And then Sam Heughan from Outlander, which I've never seen Outlander, but I've read the books. And I know that the ladies love some Sam Heughan. So it seems like Sony is trying to encompass the gamut of sexiness for this Bloodshot movie. So we'll see how it goes. You know, Bloodshot's supposed to be a 5-part movie, I guess, because they're doing the 2 Bloodshot movies. They want to do 2 Harbinger movies and then culminate into a Harbinger Wars movie. And it's pretty opportune because this week is the kickoff of Harbinger Wars 2 from Valiant Comics. Not talking about that yet, though. We're still on the news. So let's move on over to HBO and this Watchmen TV show that they're going to be working on. There hasn't been a whole lot going on with this thing. In fact, I was wondering if they're even going to actually do it. But it seems that they're actually going ahead with it. They're in talks with some actors to see, you know, what's going to happen. They've approached Regina King, Don Johnson, Tim Blake Nelson, Louis Gossett Jr. And that's cool. If that happens, I'm excited. What I'm really excited for is the fact that it seems like this Watchmen TV series will not have any of the original comic book cast in it. And that has me excited. The Hollywood Reporter, Deadline, said that there was going to be 3 new characters in this TV show. You have Regina King as Angel Abraham, Louis Gossett Jr. as Old Man, Andrew Howard as Red Scare, and Adeline Clemens as Pirate Jenny. Now that's pretty cool. And the reason I think that's cool is, you know, oftentimes we see movie companies, TV companies trying to create something out of a comic book story. And oftentimes it's very possible that they could take the original storyline and adapt it to TV or movies. Now, what we've seen from TVs and movies is that they don't quite adapt things exactly like in the comics. There's been some exceptions, of course. Like, for example, the recently released trailer for Deadly Class, it seemed to me like that was going to be following the comic pretty closely. But for the most part, that's not the case, right? And that leads to people kind of hating on these things, right? Because they make so many changes to kind of fit this new format. Right, we saw that a lot with the CW shows. We've seen that a lot with Gotham. We've seen that with The Gifted, Legion as well. And I think oftentimes it leads to a better experience for the fan where you can go beyond the source material. Because I'm a big proponent of them not doing exactly what the source material is. I think, to be honest, that can be a little boring, especially in a TV show. If they want to do it in a movie, that's probably okay. But the thing is, if you adapt the storyline word for word from whatever the comic source material was, then what's the point of seeing it? You already know what the story is. So it's much more exciting to bring in new elements. And I think that's one reason why, like, Infinity War was so successful. Because it does adapt a few different Infinity, we'll just say Infinity type storyline. And, you know, there's a lot of Infinity proper in there. Of course, the Infinity Gauntlet, Infinity Quest, Infinity War. There's a lot of elements in that movie from various different comic book storylines. And I think it made the movie all the better. Because you kind of knew what to expect, but not really. You just kind of knew that the stones were going to be. I think oftentimes shows are more successful when you don't follow those original storylines. And you know, one of my favorite comic book TV shows is Gotham. And it seems to be very divisive for a lot of people. I think the show's fantastic. And I think a lot of people agree that the show's fantastic. But there are folks who are not very happy with certain elements of it. Now, there is one thing I haven't been too happy about with Gotham, and that's how many times they change Poison Ivy. It's just ridiculous. Especially a character as great as Poison Ivy. I'm not sure why they can't get it right. Of course, the topic of the Joker keeps coming up because we've had a couple of quote-unquote Jokers in Gotham, which aren't the Joker. They never explicitly call him the Joker. And, you know, there's people that have problems with that. And of course, we've got Bruce Wayne, who's not Batman. And we'll see what happens with the next season, though. I think the... Man, if you have not been watching Gotham for whatever reason, I suggest you catch up on the latest season. That freaking season finale was absolutely bonkers. I loved it. Loved it. And of course, it will lead to a hard reset for the show next season because we have a lot of characters being taken off the table. I don't want to say they pulled an Infinity War, but they kind of pulled an Infinity War. So anyways, back to this Watchmen thing. I think it would be really difficult to adapt Watchmen to a TV show. And of course, I love the Watchmen movie. I love it. I've seen it so many times. The extended cut is great. It's like 50 hours. It's fantastic. I think the Zack Snyder's visuals for that film really fit the story very well. And I know a lot of people poo-pooed on it. Here's the thing. I had this conversation very briefly on Twitter with Monica, who does the Friendship Paradox. I've had her on this program. We've talked about the book. By the way, new issue comes out tomorrow, so be on the lookout for that. But, you know, I made some mention about Justice League and Batman v Superman because my guest last week, of course, is a big fan of those movies. And, you know, she made a comment on Twitter about the fact that, you know, she was very happy that I said what I said about Batman, Superman, and Justice League, because she kind of, when somebody would ask her how she felt about the movie, she'd be like, oh yeah, it was fine, like whatever. But secretly, she really loved it. And here's the thing, don't ever make an excuse for loving something. Who cares if everybody else thinks it's terrible? If you love it, that's all that matters, because it provides you. And that's how I felt about the Watchmen movie. I thought the Watchmen movie was incredible. Visually, it was great. Storyline was fantastic. The characters were great. Visual effects were great. I loved everything about that movie. But a lot of people poo-pooed on it because they're comic book hipsters. And of course, to them, it wasn't quite the source material. Now, let me tell you, I've read The Watchmen many times. It's pretty damn close to the source material. Of course, they took some liberties, but they're supposed to take liberties. You don't want to do a straight film adaptation on that story. And I thought what they did was pretty factual and really based on the original, with a few minor tweaks to make it work on the big screen. So I'm excited for this Watchmen TV show. I like that they're going to bring new characters in. I hope they don't tie it into anything else. I hope they keep it strictly as a Watchmen storyline, and we'll see how it goes. I don't think there's a set date on when this thing is going to be released, but I would assume sometime next. The final piece of news that I want to talk about is, it seems like there was, I don't know if it was a leak or if it was actual information released about the character descriptions for the Swamp Thing TV show, which was announced fairly recently. It's going to be coming out on the DC... What are they calling it? It's not DC Unlimited. Whatever it's called. Super special hashtag-friendly streaming service. And they're doing this Swamp Thing show next year, which I'm very excited to watch. I have no shame in saying that I loved the original movie. It came out in like 82, 83. Didn't watch the TV series, but I love the movie. I've seen the movie many times. Anyways, they've released character information, and it looks like the two main characters will be Alec Holland, of course, the Swamp Thing, and then Abby Arcane, who's kind of his doctor sidekick from pretty early on. And that's pretty exciting. I'm not going to babble on about the description of these characters on this because it doesn't fit the narrative of this podcast. You know, I don't want to just, if you want to read it, go find it. I'm sure every comic book outlet has picked this up. I'm grabbing these descriptions from CBR.com. And it looks good. You know, both characters are going to be in their early to mid 30s. They're, of course, doctors. Abby is originally from Houma, Louisiana. And there's an outbreak of Houma flu, and she works for the CDC. Alec works for this corporation doing science, and he's friends with Abby and decides to follow her to investigate this flu outbreak. And somehow or other, the flu outbreak is related to the swamp, and that's how he turns into the Swamp Thing, apparently. Although they never mention Swamp Thing explicitly in the description of the character, but we all know that that's what it is. So I'm very excited to see how this goes. Live action TV series, I think, could be very tough because of the amount of effects that you want to have on a character like Swamp Thing to really make it feel imposing and special and different. And, you know, as much as I enjoyed the TV show and whatever that, or not the TV show, the movie and whatever the TV show was, you know, those things were made 30, 35 years ago. And of course, special effects have gotten much better over the years. So I think DC could do it. It's going to be a very ambitious project, I've got to say. And I do hope that they take their time with it and they do it correctly. Because, you know, if this succeeds, this could lead to more stuff with Swamp Thing. I know that there were rumors a couple of months ago about them doing another Swamp Thing movie. I think that'd be really interesting. As long as they stick to the Alan Moore stuff. And you know what? I think the stuff that like Jeff Lemire played around with when they did like the Animal Man Swamp Thing stuff, that was really interesting also. We'll see how this goes. But I'm very excited for the Swamp Thing TV show coming out next year. I hope you will be as well. Matter of fact, I should do a poll to see if anyone that listens is going to subscribe to this DC streaming service. I think that'd be pretty interesting. I'm going to put that poll out before this episode comes out. And maybe I'll talk about it tomorrow or something. That's all the news I've got, though. So I think it's time to get on to the comic predictor. Because boy, oh boy, man, the last couple of months have been crazy. Every week, I'm finding like 15, 20 books that I wasn't aware were coming out to check out. And, you know, last week was a little bit slower, even though I ended up reading, I think, like 14 or 15 books. This week, it looks like it's going to be probably in the 25 to 30 range. And I'm not going to talk about all those, but I do want to talk about some from many different publishers. Because I think it's important to kind of, you know, spread your wings, read a little bit from everybody. And I'm going to kick it off with an Aftershock book, Pestilence, Story of Satan number 1. This is volume 2 of Pestilence. And for those of you that are following me on other podcasts, I've talked about Pestilence on the Aftershock Central podcast quite a bit. I may have mentioned it on this very podcast. I can't remember if that series had ended by the time I started doing it. But basically, it's a retelling of the Black Plague in medieval Europe, where instead of everyone dying from this crazy flu, everyone turns to zombies. And there is a massive cover-up because it seems like the Vatican is the one responsible, or the organization responsible for the zombie outbreak. And this follows immediately after the events of the first volume, in which the main character goes into hiding, and something happens where maybe this outbreak is going to kick it up another notch, and he has to come out of hiding and resume his quest to rid the world. It's written by Frank Thierry, who is one of the greatest, like, gruesomest writers. Like, he's perfect for this kind of story. He loves gore and violence, and it's perfect. The art is Oleg Okunev, which I'm not sure what he has done before this, but I was thoroughly impressed with the work he did in Volume 1. I've checked out some of his sketches and stuff as well on his socials, and he is just, he's perfect for this kind of, it's dark and gritty, but not uber realistic, but really, really exciting to see Pestilence coming back. Again, that's Pestilence, Story of Satan number 1 from Aftershock Comics. Sticking with the horror genre, I've got a Dark Horse book, Blackwood number 1. This is written by what I would say is one of the greatest modern horror comic book writers in existence, Evan Dorkin, who I got a chance to chat very briefly with at Heroes. It was at Heroes Con last year. He did a horror panel with who else was on there? Paul Jenkins and Donnie Cates, I believe. And it was Evan Dork, really smart guy. Anyway, so Evan's writing it. The art is by Veronica Fish, which, if I'm not mistaken, she was working on Archie or Riverdale, one of the Archie books, last year, 2 years ago. So I do love her art style. I'm very much looking forward to seeing what this is. And it's kind of a magical murder mystery set in like a Harry Potter sorcery. So I'm not a huge Harry Potter fan, but I do like magic. I love fantasy stuff. And, you know, if I know the way that Dorkin writes, this is going to end up being extremely dark and creepy with maybe a little bit of humor thrown in there. But, you know, this could be one of those crazy, like Lovecraftian type murder mysteries. And I love that kind of stuff. So I'm very, very excited to see how that turns out. I guess we'll go into DC. There's a couple of DC books, just very briefly. The first batch of the Hanna-Barbera DC crossovers is coming out this week. There's a Aquaman Jabberjaw special, and there's a Super Sons Dino Mutt special. I'm going to be picking all of the Hanna-Barbera DC crossover books, and I'm looking forward to checking these two out. The Super Sons book is written by Peter Tomasi with art by Fernando Passerin, and the Aquaman book is written by Dan Abnett with art by Paul Pelletier. So great creative teams on these. I'm very excited to check them out. Of course, Man of Steel number one comes out. I don't know if you guys have heard, but Bendis is actually here now. And this is going to be the series that leads up to the relaunch of the Superman universe over at DC. Man of Steel number one of six, so a six-issue miniseries. This will be a weekly book written by Bendis with art by Joe Prado and Miguel Anzo Prado. I think he does the inking. I don't think he... anyways, I'm excited to check this out. I want to see what Bendis does with this whole Superman franchise, and I hope that DC doesn't end up regretting the fact that they paid Bendis Bukuza to come over and redo Superman. Because I'm going to tell you, Superman was great before Bendis. So I have very high expectations if they feel like he can really change things up. Next up, an IDW book, The Crow Memento Mori number 3. I have talked about, I think, both issues 1 and 2 on this podcast. God, this book is so good. I want to thank Ronnie for bringing... I think I found this after, and he's like, dude, I told you about this book. So I don't remember that, but if he says so, I believe him. And thank you, Ronnie, for that. The Crow Memento Mori has been absolutely fantastic. It's dark and gruesome and such a great character study on what the Crow is. And I think this might be the last issue. I'm not quite sure, but I'm very much looking forward to checking this out. Again, that's The Crow Memento Mori from IDW. Since we're on the IDW front, have to talk about Judge Dredd Under Siege, number 1 of 4. This is written by Mark Russell, which, if the name sounds familiar, he did The Flintstones over at DC. Fantastic run over on The Flintstones. The artist is Max Dunbar, who did the Gears of War comic, which I picked up. His art is incredible as well, and I'm very much looking forward to seeing what this is about. It, of course, it's set in Mega City 1. There's a mutant assault on the city, and it's up to Judge Dredd and Judge Beanie to like figure out what the hell's happening, why these attacks are going on. And, you know, Mark Russell is a great action writer. He always has like little humor elements thrown in, and I think that will work really well for Judge Dredd. I've been gobbling up anything Judge Dredd over the last few months. I started with the IDW stuff. IDW's been doing Judge Dredd for a couple years. I started out with the IDW stuff. I've gone back and read some of the 2000 AD stuff. I've got so much Judge Dredd that I haven't even opened yet because there's a ton of material, and I am very excited to see what this new Judge Dredd series is about. So again, Judge Dredd Under Siege, number one, from IDW. Next up, from Image Comics, I've got a couple of Image books. The first one is Last Siege. This is written by Landry Q. Walker, and the artist is Justin Greenwood. And I think this might be Walker's first comic. I think Walker is a fiction writer, but it seems like that's kind of the thing nowadays, right? Go write a couple fiction books, and then if you have some crazy ideas that maybe publishers don't want to put out, see if it'll work in a comic. And a lot of times I think it works out very well. So very excited to see what this whole thing is. It's kind of a spaghetti western meets Game of Thrones is what the pitch is for this book. And I love me some spaghetti westerns. And Game of Thrones is okay, but super boring. But I do love, you know, high fantasy stuff, or like medieval fantasy stuff. And I think those two things will go very well. So looking forward to picking up The Last Siege from Image Comics. Since we're on the Image front, I guess, Realm is coming back. Realm number 6. This is Jeremy Hahn and Seth Peck are doing this book, and I've thoroughly enjoyed the first 5 issues. I'm glad that it's coming back. It seems to be very well received across the board, and of course, this is a new arc, so probably a good time to jump on. We'll see how it goes. I think the way the story is being written, though, you may want to go back and check out the first arc. The trade is out already, Volume 1, so pick that up. I'm sure it's like $9. Image is pretty good with doing cheaper Volume 1s, but highly recommended. Very much enjoyed the Realm, and Jeremy Hahn is a freaking awesome person, so check that out. Realm number 6 from Image Comics. On to Marvel. Very quickly, Amazing Spider-Man 800, 80 pages, Dan Slott's last book, tons of great artists, Alex Ross, Stuart Immonen, can't go wrong. The only problem is it's $10. So, you know, we've had this pricing discussion, right? Do I want to spend $10 on a book? Not usually, but, you know, 80 pages for $10, that's probably okay. And, of course, it's Dan Slott's last issue there before he moves over to Iron Man. And I look forward to seeing what he with the new character. And I can't remember who is taking over. I know Ryan Ottley, who was drawing Invincible, is taking over art duties for Spider-Man. Cannot remember for the life of me who's picking the writing duties. But I will definitely be checking out Amazing Spider-Man number 800 from Marvel Studios. All right, 2 more to go. Next up is a Titan book. And this is 2021 Lost Children number 1 of 2. I believe this may be in the Magnetic Press or Static Press line. So it's European books that Titan is reprinting over here in the U.S. market. And this is Stephanie Belder is the writer. Stephanie Bravas and James Stokes on colors. And the here's the thing. The cover looked cool, but it didn't quite grab me. And the title of the book tells me nothing about this book. But then I read the description for this book, and I got very excited. And I know for some of you, you might be excited as well. So I'm going to read you the pitch. For fans of Akira. Yep, that's me. I love Akira. Domu, A Child's Dream. Yes, I love Domu. Ghost in the Shell. Continue. And Children of Men. Yes, I love Children of Men. Escape from New York meets the X-Men. What is happening with this book? This description is freaking insane. It's 2021. Detroit has seceded from the United States, and its citizens are under the control of a madman with extraordinary abilities. The only hope of retaking the city lies with 4 superpowered children, but their powers come with a price. Using them means aging prematurely. Can they save the city before their powers use up their lives? This sounds awesome. I don't know where this is coming from. I know nothing about these this creative team, but man, like as soon as he said Akira, I was like, yeah, I'm just gonna read it. Like whatever. So very much looking forward to seeing how this one ends up being. And yes, it's a $5.99 book, but it's only 2 issues. So I think if you're a fan of this this genre of book, of movie, TV show, I don't know, it's like a mixture of a bunch of things, then I think 2021 will end up being pretty damn good. So looking forward to checking that out. Again, 2021 Lost Children. This is from Titan Comics. Finally, from Valiant Comics. The long-awaited, much-hyped Harbinger Wars 2, number 1. This is written by Matt Kent, with art by Tomas Giorello and J.G. Jones. Awesome team. Dude, if you have not looked at Tomas Giorello's art, this man is absolutely insane. Absolutely insane. It's very much like a rendered style, but I love really, really cool. Looking forward to seeing what this event ends up being. A lot has changed over at Valiant, of course, over the last couple of months. The story seems to have remained the same for the most part. I know there's been some changes. Eric Heiser, who was doing the Secret Weapons book, was supposed to be kind of co-writing this with Matt Kent. Eric's no longer involved with Valiant for reasons we're not going to discuss today because it's relevant. And so it looks like Matt Kent is kind of doing this whole thing by himself. And I look forward to seeing how it goes. There's been a lot of buildup. There's been some missteps along the way, I think, story-wise, with some of the books in relation to this particular story. But, you know, every year Valiant does a big summer event. This is the summer event. And the great thing about Valiant's events is that they're only a four-issue miniseries, and you don't need to read anything else, unlike what everybody else tries to do. So very much looking forward to see how this goes. I do get preview copies or review copies from Valiant. I never read them because I pick up everything Valiant anyway. So I haven't read it. It's in my inbox. Haven't read it. I'll read it tomorrow whenever I go to the store and buy. And very much looking forward to seeing how this... Again, that's Harbinger Wars 2, number 1, from Valiant Comics. And I think that is going to wrap up this very episode of Comic Talk Today. Thank you for hanging in with me. I love doing the show, and I love the feedback from everybody. So if you want to get in touch with me, you can find me on Twitter, at Geekvine. That is the best place. You can, of course, email if you're so inclined. ComicTalkToday@gmail.com. I check it like once a week. Most people hate emailing. Most people actually just get in touch with me on Twitter, and I appreciate that more. I think that's it. I will be back tomorrow with the rant. Finally, the rant! I haven't decided if I'm going to use last week's rant or one that I recorded previously, or if I'm going to record a new one. That's kind of up in the air, so there might be a couple of rant episodes this week, but tomorrow will definitely be a rant. I'll catch you then.